Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, saints of God, and may the Lord grant you special favor tonight for joining us. I hope you are enjoying your summer so far. You know, there are those who insist it is about to get even more chaotic, as planned and even prophesied in the Bible. Of course, it uses the English word perilous. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But before we go any further, honey, would you open the program with prayer?
Yes, I will. Else should I. We honor and praise all your holy names as we forever stand on your word. To fear not, for you are with your righteous, we will not be dismayed, for you are our God who strengthens us, helps us, and upholds us with your righteous right hand. We ask that you hear the many prayers of your saints, showing favor to all our unsaved loved ones, and we truly desire your Holy Spirit present tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen indeed. You know, we love praying God's word of truth back to him. And that was gleaned from Isaiah 41:10. Okay, just a couple comments on the RNC. We did mention last Tuesday about the little bit of familiar words Melania Trump used from Michelle Obama's 2008 speech, but others do it too. But I was wondering what people thought of Mr. Trump's entrance on the first night as a shadow and then into the light?
I think he was portraying to those who know that we do have a shadow government who really decides the outcome of all presidents.
I agree. And, of course, you know, we've discussed that a lot. But I think you have that quote from FDR. I did send it with my last newsletter, and I think you should read that.
Yes, it says, presidents are selected, not elected.
Said by who? Franklin Delano
Roosevelt. FDR.
Wow. What a difference one letter can make.
Absolutely. Okay, what else stood out to you about the RNC?
Well, Governor Mike Pence, who is now the vice president candidate, just before speaking, gave the devil's horn sign to the crowd as they cheered. Some not even aware of what he did, but those who really mattered did see it. He's a good old boy, just like Trump, who I have pictures of making the horn sign as well, and other Masonic symbols.
Had he left his thumb sticking out, you could say it means I love you.
Right, which it does in sign language. But those who have researched this understand it well. And again, I have pictures in this month's newsletter that went out over the weekend.
And if you are on our mailing list, you may have it by now, or it might be in your inbox or mailbox if you get the paper edition. And if not, you can easily sign up by sending an email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And please prayerfully consider any love offering which is needed and greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains many ways to expand your learning, especially on Hebraic roots. And all the past radio programs and teaching newsletters are archived for your added knowledge. And remember, the first Friday of every month, 7 p.m., coming up August 5th, we will be at the Cheston Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe, and that's Route 306 in Cheston, Ohio, and always with a timely message.
Thank you. I must mention this as well. Last week, While in Australia, our Vice President, Joe Biden, who is a high-level Jesuit-trained coadjutor and a Knight of Malta, and those of us who have done the research say that Biden's the shadow president of America. Anyhow, Biden was asked if he was worried about the election. Go ahead, dear, read that.
He said, "Don't worry about the election. Don't worry about our election. The better angels in America will prevail."
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Now, most of us know what he meant and who is guiding the unrighteous. And then he spoke with such conviction and utmost authority, like he was so sure. I think Trump knows, too, that maybe Hillary has it. Why else would he make such outlandish promises with so few specifics?
Yeah, it sounds like a mafia boss.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, besides Trump hailing the LGBT community, what else do you want to comment on?
Yes, he did. And, of course, we know he was referencing the Orlando massacre. And, of course, all lives do matter. But did he have to have a gay billionaire speaker who openly praised himself for being a Republican gay? Even asking the audience, who really cares which bathroom we use? Are you kidding me? I would hope that all American parents care who follows their little girls or little boys into the bathroom, gay or straight.
And yet so much applause followed that statement.
Yes, and even reporters hailed him afterwards for being so brave to say it all at a Republican convention. Well, thank you, Mr. Christian Donald Trump.
Yeah, he pushed that button when it didn't have to be pushed.
It was like putting a Republican stamp of approval on the LGBTQ lifestyle, as he definitely is probably trying to acquire their votes, obviously.
And I'm sure some of our listeners want to know what the recently added Q means.
Yes.
After the LGBT.
Well, in my day, it stood for queer, which is an old phrase. Or it can also mean questioning or still questioning their eventual sexual identity. Obviously, Trump stays on top of these things. It's just, to me, so amazing how the world has changed since my younger days.
That's for sure.
You know, I once had an uncle who joined the Catholic seminary to become a priest. But he left after a few years, who became a homosexual in the seminary, we found out. And then he wanted to live with his partner. And I never saw him after that. My family shunned him, not even going to his funeral when he died. So I do have a special place in my heart for gays, because I know evil entities are in control of these precious souls, some from a young age. For evil has has no boundaries without Jesus Christ. And no one is born that way. It's a choice of lasciviousness.
They'd, like all lost souls, need the real Jesus.
Yes, and not the Mormon Jesus that claim Christianity, but are not a biblical Christian. And I say that because on Wednesday night, Trump had a Mormon give the opening prayer, excuse me, who said all the right words to include Jesus Christ's atonement. Sadly, even Christians, and I'm sure even some Mormons, are unaware that they worship a different Jesus, who was actually, they teach, was created in the brother of Lucifer. I often think of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, where he scolded them and warned them because they were so carnal that he felt they could be easily swayed and tolerant to accepting another gospel. You see, Mormonism is a different gospel. It's a different Jesus. So don't ever say Mormons are biblical Christians. That is a lie from hell and deception at its finest. And should you hear it from someone, reprove and expose it immediately. Honey, would you read Ephesians 5:11?
Yes. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay, should we look at the Democratic National
Convention? You want to? Okay. Well, as you most, as most of you know by now, that the head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, has been exposed through leaked emails of sabotaging Bernie Sanders and will resign after the convention. But Hillary has already hired her for personal work.
Go figure that one out, huh?
And there's another Jesuit-trained politician now named vice president for Hillary. Yep, Tim Kaine. He was a Jesuit-trained missionary in Honduras who decided, with I'm sure some coercion, to go into politics. And like I've been saying for a long time now, their job is to infiltrate all walks of life and then to follow the Master General's instructions. They are in both parties. And Obama's cabinet are most all, if not all, Jesuit-trained as well. With, as I already stated, Joe Biden being a high-ranking Knight of Malta. They are everywhere, and they answer to Rome. Rome is ruling whether you want to embrace it yet or not, and it won't make it go away. History repeats itself, and time has to go back to when Jesus walked the earth the first time, so he can return, but this time he will defeat Rome. And Revelation says he surely will. And also the reason the church must leave as well, because we weren't here the first time. God's focus will solely be on Israel and their salvation.
Speaking of Israel, any news there?
Well, only that in spite of the recent deal they made with Russia in Israel's newest gas wells, there have been some questionable activity concerning a drone that appeared last week over the Golan on Israel's border. That was probably gathering intelligence. But what's worse, while it was manufactured in Russia, the technology was originally developed by Israel, which was only to be used in Syria, Ukraine, or terrorist targets in the Caucasian Mountains. Then, adding insult to injury, the drone's electronic jamming devices were activated, which disarmed the missiles and aircraft Israel was trying to use to intercept it. Which also Israel taught them how to do. Bibi at this point cannot get a straight answer from Putin over this.
Okay, what's the latest on Turkey?
Oh, that's really double spy, double agent stuff. President Erdogan is right now cleaning house, so to speak, since the failed military coup. Many deaths and arrests, schools, charities, and most institutions have been closed and abusive detainees are being reported. And he suspects Obama played a huge role in the coup. And guess what? I agree. So why didn't Obama make sure Erdogan was captured? Because after all, we do have a U.S. base there housing 1,500 U.S. airmen and their families at Incirlik and storing nuclear weapons in underground bunkers. And they are now all being held in lockdown. So why didn't he get Erdogan? Because Russia was playing double agent and tipped Erdogan off. Why? Because Russia wants Turkey in its corner instead of helping the United States. So as a result, no airstrikes against ISIS, which makes ISIS happy. But since we know Erdogan made many oil deals with ISIS, he doesn't care either. And Erdogan is acting like a king now, which his ego favors. But people, as we know, nothing is ever as it seems.
But we know that Putin is now laughing at Obama.
I'd say. One last thing. This was a headline news a few weeks ago in Europe. This was the line. Merkel's worst nightmare. Germany calls for a referendum as people want to be free of the EU. Well, lo and behold, Germany then gets hit with at least four terrorist attacks, just like France, who, by the way, was also asking for a vote to leave the EU. You know, with Britain voting to leave already, the EU will be out $35 million a week. So the departure of any other nation would dissolve it all. And NATO. And that's just not going to happen. And actually, Britain's departure isn't really final either.
Yeah, I wonder if they might change their mind, you think?
Well, I do want you to tell others. Maybe you could pass my newsletter on, because I've listed some telltale signs of how to recognize a false flag event. Because these attacks sure do smell smoky.
You mean like smoke and mirrors?
Yes. Okay, it's time to look at the book. Open your Bibles if you are driving, of course, pull off to the side. To Matthew 24, we're going to read verses 32 through 34. Now, before I read this, let me say that time and time again, I am asked, what is the biggest and most important sign that Jesus will come back in our lifetime? There are many signs that Jesus said to look for, and deception is the big one. But in my mind, what tops it all is the fig tree blooming again. Matthew 24, 32, and I will read. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Remember, Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. So this scripture is saying, in other words, there will be, of course, those who do die, but not all. Some people that saw Israel become a nation will still be alive when that trumpet sounds to remove his bride. And that's you and me. Okay, so then I'm also asked, well, how do you know for sure the fig tree is a symbol for Israel, specifically Jerusalem and the Jewish people? Well, we have Old Testament scriptures to support it. So let's look at them. 1 Kings 4:25 says, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan," which, by the way, is up in the north, "as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." Now, the grapevine represents all of Israel, and the fig tree in Jerusalem, and the new kingdom soon coming. Okay, so the fig tree is Jerusalem, and the grapevine is Israel, all of Israel. And it's confirmed again in Isaiah 5:7, which says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant," referring to Jerusalem. But there's even more confirmation in Joel 1:7. It says, and this is, of course, after the locusts had devastated Jerusalem as a judgment for their sin. He says, "He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree." You see, they go hand in hand. But the next verse should clinch it for you. Hosea 9:10, God tells Hosea, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season." Okay? And you know what? There's another one in Jeremiah 24 where God shows Jeremiah that there are bad figs and there are good figs. And he's referencing the people in verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah says, "The Lord showed me two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away Jeconiah, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And I said, 'Figs. The good figs, very good. The bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad.' Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying," Jeremiah said, "'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place, for their own good, and to the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and will not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up.'" You know, even after the later diaspora, after 70 AD, there was still always a small remnant remaining in Israel. Okay, now that we've substantiated that, let me show you another scripture I think you'll find fascinating. Deuteronomy 29, 21 through 24. God is talking about any abominator, and he's talking to Moses. He says, and the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law, so that the coming generation, and the Greek, the Hebrew for that is Hador Acharon, and it really means the last generation, should mark your Bibles, so that the last generation of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid on it. So now, in the next verse is what they will say later. They'll say, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It's not sown, does not bear, does not grow grass, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? And that's exactly what they said in 1948. When I was born, Israel was in ruins, and it's my generation that has seen it bloom again. Like Matthew 24 says, those that see the fig tree bloom again, and it literally is, as well as the whole nation, it's essentially a desert that exports flowers, fruits, and vegetables. What do you think? Some of our generation, and that's about 70 years according to Psalm 90, will still be here when he returns, because he said, who is alive and sees Israel blossom again is that last generation. And that should excite you. One more scripture, Psalm 102 verses 12 through 18. Well, a few. I'm going to read fast because we're running out of time. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy in Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time, by the way, it is a set time, has come. For your servants take pleasure in their stones and show favor to her dust. That's the archaeologists today. Verse 15, so the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the last generation. If your Bible says generation to come, it's Hador HaKaran, and it means the last generation. Look it up. And he goes on, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Don't you see, people? He really does want us to know he's coming very soon. There are so many clues in the Word of God. We are that generation. All we have to do is a little digging and we can find them. It's not supposed to be a surprise. Remember Hebrews 10? I think it's verse 25 said, encourage one another as you see the day approaching. So I must close with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. If you're not saved, oh my gosh, now is the time. You better hurry. We're running out of time. He's coming soon. And then get in the Word. It's the Word that's going to strengthen you, give you that power that you need over the enemy, because he's getting stronger, evil is getting worse, and the light is growing dim. So tell a friend, tell a relative, tell as many people as you can. Now is the time. He really is coming. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.